Good afternoon. It's been said for centuries that the only thing that really makes our lives worthwhile is that we can make a difference. And everything the Bible says certainly confirms that thought. I'll get back to that in a moment. But for those who often feel that they don't make a difference, or that not everyone can. After all, we live in an age where people often say you can't fight City Hall, which in other words is saying you can't make a difference. To those people, let me run this by you. There's a type of person out there who has done nothing, contributed nothing, achieved nothing, knows nothing, has accomplished nothing of themselves, and yet they've made a huge difference. Namely, a newborn child. That child permanently and forever changes the lives of its parents simply by being born. I think it was Bill Cosby who said he and his wife were intellectuals until they had children. So everything changes just with one new life. So in fact, we all actually do make a difference in people's lives. The problem is that it's usually in 1,000 different ways that we can never fully know, at least in this lifetime. Of course, there's some ways where you can see the difference you've made. A farmer can look back at the field he's just plowed. On the job, we can look and see where what our contributions have or haven't made a difference or mattered. And when the dust settles, parents can hopefully see where they've made a difference in their child's life. There are some ways, but I'm really talking about the day-to-day difference that God wants our lives to make. And on that score, most people have a tendency to downplay what their lives have given to others. And in so doing, we underestimate what God can do through us and for us. To further illustrate how we do make a difference, at this particular time of year, local TV stations trot out several old seasonal movies, and probably the most significant, one we can actually use, is an old Jimmy Stewart film called It's a Wonderful Life. One station has played this film twice in just the last 2 weeks, and every year they pull it out, and every year people acclaim it. But we can never really learn what it's saying. I'll explain that in a minute. For those few of you who've never seen the film or think you'd never want to see it, let me give you the briefest of synopses. It's really just the story of a simple, small-town man who from the time he's a child is always in the right place at the right time to help others. It's at the core of his character. He just wants to help. And he ends up sacrificing most of his life's dreams and ambitions on the altar of helping other people in his town. Until one day, his life takes a very sudden, bitter turn. And it's as if at that moment, all the regrets and personal desires unfulfilled suddenly pile up, leaving him wishing to God that he'd never been born. And through a somewhat inept angel, God does just that. He allows Jimmy Stewart's character in the film to see what his town and its people would have been like if he'd never been there to help, if he had never been. And in place of a lovely, peaceful town filled with upstanding people, what he finds is a rancid, corrupt town filled with miserable, oppressed people, where his brother had died because when they were children, Jimmy Stewart hadn't been there to rescue him from drowning. Where people lived in shacks because he and his little savings and loan hadn't been there to help the poor find a good home. Where his wife had wasted her life and, of course, had never had their children. And so it went. Simple, daily, unremarkable acts had mounted up over one man's life. And by the time Jimmy Stewart sees this panorama, he begs God to let him have his life back again. He had finally seen what one life can mean to so many others. Like your life, or my life. The only flaw in this story, as I mentioned earlier, is that without such divine insight, none of us can ever really see what our simple lives contribute to those around us. However, the point is no less true. This is one place where seeing isn't needed for believing. Because that film testifies to what the Bible tells us in every book, every account of every person mentioned in its pages, that everything we do, every choice we make, makes a difference. And apart from the ultimate eternal purposes of life, or perhaps inexorably tied to those purposes, that's what our lives are for. That's what we're called to do in this life and more fully in the next. Consider. When the scriptures tell us that we are called in Christ Jesus for good works, it's simply saying that the works of our lives should be good, not evil. That's all. Nothing more complex than that. It's not as though good works are something above and beyond what your life is. Are the works of our lives good or are they bad? Are we following the right way or the wrong way? Are we endeavoring to set a good example? Or like the joke goes, are we satisfied with setting a bad one? In short, are we following after the ways of God no matter what the price? Or are we compromising, following the world, and just kidding ourselves? Because if we're actually seeking God, then every life that our lives touch will have been touched by the Spirit of God. No matter how subtle the influence, no matter how misunderstood or unnoticed, no matter how flawed the effort, because it won't be our goodness accomplishing anything. It'll be God doing His work through us. We will have made a difference. But here's a little morsel of agony to chew on. Because we're living in a world increasingly devoted to evil, on its way into the abyss, if you're truly following God, your simple life will eventually become a conscience to those around you. At best, people won't understand you. But as time goes by, more than likely, people will resent your influence, because a guilty conscience hates reminders, even if it's just because you're not going along with them, not doing what the world's doing. And therefore, as Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. The motive for doing right in this life has to be a motive toward God Himself. Because if we're doing it for admiration or to be approved by others on any level, we're going to be sorely disappointed. Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." He followed through on that. For us, that won't mean for 1,000 or 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000, perhaps just one life. Unnoticed, uncared for, misunderstood, perhaps cursed, rejected, just for doing what's right and good in the sight of God. Maybe today it just means opening a door for someone, or letting someone onto the freeway ahead of you instead of cutting them off, or smiling at someone when you don't feel like it, or acknowledging someone so they can know that someone cares no matter how little. It's these little, mostly unnoticed things that make a huge difference. For us and for others. As we yield ourselves to God, our lives will always make a difference. That's what God intended. In Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." By choosing God's love over human bitterness or revenge, we make a difference. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3, Paul said, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And verse 31, get rid of all bitterness and anger. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That makes a difference. And Paul reiterated that in Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, kind of an interesting phrase, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in unity. Not the way the world around us is choosing at all. But it is the mind and heart and spirit of our God. And in and through your life, these qualities will make a difference. After all, we're not alone in this. God had written in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And finally, in Galatians 6, verses 9 to 10, a reminder. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, not today probably, not in this lifetime probably, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's how you can make a difference. But as one final point in closing, a simple thought from a retirement card that we gave a colleague at work recently. It reflects everything I've been talking about in the simplest of words. And if we're always seeking God, these are words we'll be able to encourage ourselves with as we think over the panorama of our lives. Always remember what a difference you made in those whose lives you touched.